Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those...
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and they're going to be your views, at least for this hour, because this is Open Line Wednesday. So if you have something that you would like to talk about, why, you don't have to hesitate to call. You don't have to be on subject if you'd like to talk about something else. And the number to call, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But you know, I was reading the latest issue of the New American magazine, and there's a lead article here written by my good friend Bill Jasper about engineered a war on Iran. And he really does an excellent job of tying the ends together. And you know, of course, if you listen to what our administration is saying, why the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Gates, says we're not planning on going to war with Iran. And General Pace has said we're not planning on going to war with Iran. And Dick Cheney has said we're not planning on going to war with Iran, but of course, everything's still on the table, and the president has inferred that we're not planning on going to war with Iran, and yet everything points to that fact that we are planning to go to war with Iran. And they're not being forthright with us, just as they weren't being forthright with us when it came to what happened during Iraq. And certainly you can go back and you can read Paul O'Neill's book, The Price of Loyalty, and you remember Paul O'Neill was the Secretary of the Treasury at that time. And in that book, The Price of Loyalty, he writes that, you know, from the very first days when the Bush administration came into power, took over control of the White House in January of the year 2001, they were planning on going to war with Iraq. Now, they weren't telling the American people, but he would attend these meetings and they'd say, how are we going to justify a preemptive war with Iraq? And, of course, you get into the Downing Street memo where this was actually quoted by one of the head of the British MI5 or MI6, pointing out that it was a foregone conclusion that the United States and Great Britain were going to attack Iraq, and it was just a matter of time. And certainly, now the minutes have become available for a meeting between Prime Minister Blair and George Bush in January of 2003. Remember, the attack wasn't until March of 2003, but in January of 2003, they were planning on how they were going to attack Iraq. So it was all determined ahead of time, and they were not telling the American people the truth. And it had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. It had nothing to do with what a bad guy Saddam Hussein was, because if you remember, George Bush's father had financed Saddam Hussein, when he was vice president under Ronald Reagan, and then after George Herbert Walker Bush became the president of the United States in 1988, or 1989. So nothing is, it appears to be. And now it would appear we're intent upon going to war with Iran, and it really doesn't make sense that we've made this point before. But if you have any thoughts or questions about it, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Do you think we need to go to war with Iran? Do you think we'll benefit from expanding the war there? And then, does the president have the right to take us into war just because he wants to go to war or because he thinks it's good for the country? Shouldn't he have to be responsible to Congress or to the American people? Or do we have an authoritarian structure? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly we're talking about the coming war with Iran, and we'd like to know what you think about it. Now, in a statement issued on the 23rd of February of this year, the Pentagon said, the United States is not planning to go to war with Iran. To suggest anything to the contrary is simply wrong, misleading, and mischievous. And that's a pretty strong statement. But are they telling the truth? Remember, of course, the rescue of Jessica Lynch after she courageously had fought off the Iraqi attackers and of course, then was captured after she'd run out of ammunition. And it was all a lie, the death of Pat Tillman, the tragic death of Pat Tillman. And I look upon him as a hero. Certainly, I don't agree with his decision, but he went over to Iraq because he thought he was fighting for freedom. He thought he was fighting for America, and he was willing to put his life on the line. And I wonder how many other Americans would be willing to do that. The fact that he was killed by friendly fire doesn't, anyway, decrease the fact that he was a hero. He believed in America, and he was willing to die for our nation. Unfortunately, of course, he didn't understand who the enemy really was. He didn't understand the things that we try to teach you here at Radio Liberty about the spiritual forces behind this, and that nothing is quite the way it appears to be. But at least Pat Tillman believed in America, and I hope you do as well. Well, then, of course, we get information from a number of different sources, and to the effect that Iran will not have nuclear weapons, not for a good long period of time, probably 5 to 10 years before Iran will be able to actually produce nuclear weapons, and she won't be able to produce nuclear weapons without support from communist Russia and communist China, both of which countries seem to be intent upon dragging America into this war. America could have been blocked from going to war with Iran when the United States had taken the case of Iran before the Security Council, either Russia or China had simply vetoed efforts to get sanctions placed on Iran. So why did they do that? After all, Iran was their trading partner. They have close relationships with Iran. China has certainly invested some $10 billion there in building pipelines. Why didn't they veto the effort to bring sanctions, United Nations sanctions on Iran? And I think that both Russia and China want to involve the United States in a war there, and Russia is actually arming Iran in preparation for the war with very sophisticated weapons, which will take a terrible toll on American lives very, very soon. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is Open Lines Wednesday, and we invite your calls. We're simply commented during the break that Russia, and perhaps to a lesser extent China, but certainly Russia and China are both arming Iran in preparation for the coming war with the United States on one hand, and yet voted to support the United States efforts to get the United Nations sanctions on Iran, which sort of gives a semblance of legitimacy to our continued effort to precipitate a war with Iran. And it doesn't make sense. Why would we want to do that? Because certainly Iran is not a nuclear threat. She will not be able to produce nuclear weapons for 5 to 10 years, according to the intelligence estimates. And even then, she wouldn't be able to without help from both Russia and China, who we are providing financial and technological help to. Well, we've got John calling from Santa Cruz. Let's see what John has to say. John, what are your thoughts about what's going on?
Hello, Dr. Stan. My thought is that it's... As you were stating, in the meetings relative to getting us into Iraq, they were pretty much closed meetings, weren't they? We have, what, 2 to 3 battle groups over there now, and they say, oh, it's just putting our military over there, and we're just practicing.
Right.
Practicing for what? Well, practicing for war, and that's what I believe.
I think you're right. Actually, basically, we have 3 battle groups there. We have, right now, we have the Eisenhower, and then, of course, we have the John Stennis, which just arrived. But we've had the Boxer there for some time, and the Boxer is an older aircraft carrier that's been recommissioned, and it has a fleet of about 8 ships with it, and then there are both British and French ships there as well there in the Gulf. And now we're, of course, going to be bringing in the Nimitz aircraft carrier. So we will have then 4 units there, 4 aircraft carriers stationed in the Persian Gulf. And you wonder why they want to get them all there, all bunched up together where they make such a good target. But I share your concern.
Well, I feel that it's blatantly out there that this is what they're doing. Our Congress, our senators are doing nothing to delve into that, and why not? And I happen to believe that we're just still too comfortable right now. We don't have a war in our backyard right now, so we're still comfortable, and we say that okay, well they can do. The centers, well, they know what they're doing. We've elected somebody now that will do something, and they're still not doing anything other than sidestepping issues to be able to, I'm not sure exactly what, maybe just to keep their jobs and keep themselves comfortable. But I believe, as you, they're amassing a force over there, and I believe it's to start a war.
I think it's to expand this war, and of course there's going to be terrible consequences from this war. The average American, I don't think, has any idea the implications of going to war with Iran and perhaps precipitating a clash of civilizations, the clash of civilizations that Samuel Huntington warned against in his book by that title. Samuel Huntington is a professor of history at Harvard, very smart man, member of the CFR, and he's written a book called The Clash of Civilizations, and the one message is don't ever get involved in a war with the Muslim world. The 1.25 billion, of Muslims out there, this is going to create, a terrible conflict, and we can't change their lives. We can't force them to accept our way of life.
I don't understand why we have to try to force democracy on them, and how can you force democracy on somebody that really has no concept of it by pushing on them immediately and expecting them to adapt it within a couple of years or so? And it was ludicrous for us to get into the war with Iraq on all the precepts that they gave us, number one. But to change somebody by force is ridiculous. And that's where that I heard George Bush say that when Nancy Pelosi went over and talked to the Syrians, it gave them the wrong message. Well, my thought is that it gave them the message that, there's people who need to talk. And talking may not resolve everything, but it's a step in a direction that is not going to immediately put an imminent danger in there. Other than, okay, now we understand what's going on. Understanding, I believe, is a step in the right direction to getting something resolved. You can't form a government by force. You form it by understanding and getting a dialogue between two parties that have to live together. And there was one other thing that I heard, Dr. Stan, that George Bush actually changed the law relative to, and this is off Iran, but changed the law relative to opening up presidential records from 12 years being closed to indefinitely being closed.
Well, certainly they're doing everything they can to prevent the American people from knowing anything about what's going on. Certainly they have suppressed all of the information about what happened on 9/11, and I don't think they're really trying to keep that from Osama bin Laden living over there in the cave, if he's still even living. And so they are making it extremely difficult to get the Freedom of Information Act information available to the American people, because they don't trust the American people. They don't want them to learn the truth. And I think we should have an open government. I think that we have a right to know. But it appears that there's a very autocratic attitude. We know what's best for you common people, and you are just to do what you're told to do. And if we lie to you, that's all right, because we're doing this for your benefit.
I thought it was the government by the people, not by the government.
Well, of course, but unfortunately, we've gotten a long way away from that. At one time, we had a limited government, and you never could have had the president just decide unilaterally that he wants to go to war, and this is really what's happening. You know, what was really so... I don't know whether you heard the 60-minute interview with George Bush here, or maybe about a month ago, but George Bush said he didn't care what a Congress thought. He didn't care what the American people thought. I mean, he was going to do what he thought was right, even if only Laura and his dog agreed with him, the words to that effect. And that's rather frightening. I mean, he's made such a mess out of Afghanistan and then out of Iraq. Why should we trust his judgment upon drawing us into a war with Iran, which could plunge the entire world into World War III?
And that's just the point. I don't trust him. And he always comes up with, I believe, I believe. That's his rationale for, I believe putting more troops in Iraq will end the war. Well, that's you know, proven to be contrary. They moved out of, the insurgents have moved more from Baghdad into the outlying area.
Sure.
And it's sad that we don't do something about that as citizens.
There's nothing we can do as citizens other than try to educate the American people and try to get them to understand not only what's happening from a military point of view, but the spiritual forces which are energizing this whole movement, and then the implications of what lies ahead, and hopefully at least some of the people begin making preparations, because I believe we're moving into a time of great uncertainty, into a time of chaos and crisis here in the United States.
I believe that also, and they keep us wrapped up right now. They've got us wrapped up in tax season.
Right.
Where we have to do everything relative to taxes, so it diverts our attention from the real issue of what our government is doing.
Well, that they use this technique all the time, you know.
I know.
Or we'll talk about something really important like Ines, you know, and his racist remarks, or you know, we'll have the latest scandal. I mean, who was the husband of this lady down there, you know, who died? Pardon me, who was the father of her baby? And they create all of these problems to focus our attention on, none of them important, but you hear it over and over again.
Yeah, why didn't they focus on Building 7 and how it came down at 5:30 that afternoon on 9/11? Now, I talked to so many people, they say, what? Another building came down that day?
Well, John, our job is to try to get people to think. And, you know, we do have the Internet, and we could just get them to go up on the Internet and type in a Building 7 video and watch that building come down a couple of times. And I had to watch it come down several times myself before I was firmly convinced that, of course, this was a controlled demolition.
Oh, yes, it was. I've talked to so many people. I've shown them that particular video with Dan Rather saying that is reminiscent of a building being imploded.
Right.
And I watch other buildings being imploded. And yes, in fact, it was imploded. And I've talked to at least 30 to 40 people that I've shown that video to, and they said, well, why isn't anybody doing anything about this? I never knew about that.
Well, of course, we have all sorts of four-tape sets, and, of course, we have a lot of videos. I like that 911 Press for the Truth with Loose Chains and 911 Mysteries and The Day That Changed America Forever. They're all good DVDs, but we have to get people involved, and they have to realize the implications of allowing 3,000 Americans to die as a justification to get us into the war. And then we have to, of course, point out what Robert Byrd reports in his book, See No Evil, where one of the highest-ranking CIA officials is quoted and told a reporter off the record that when the dust finally clears, why the American people will realize that 9/11 wasn't a failure of intelligence, it was a triumph. Now, if anybody wants to get
intelligence.
anybody wants to get the book, it's called See No Evil. We carry the book, or it's quoted in our pamphlets entitled 911 Prior Knowledge, or you go up to the internet and read our August to December newsletters for 2006. They're up there at RadioLiberty.com. And why hasn't anybody asked who the CIA official was? And why he said this was a triumph, what happened on 3,000 Americans are dead, and that's a triumph of intelligence?
Well,
or maybe this was all aimed at getting us into World War III. Hey, well, look, thanks very much for calling, John. Anything else you want to say?
God bless you, Sam.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, let's go to Ryan, who's calling from Michigan. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-829.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
was asking about this DVD called The Secret, and apparently his girlfriend had brought this over and had showed it to his dad, and his dad said, "This is big time bad stuff." And I said, "Dad, you listen to your dad, because this basically is how you open yourself up to demonic possession." And it is so significant that at this time in history, millions of people have bought the DVD, and millions of people have bought the book, and millions of people are beginning to claim this technique that Rhonda Byrne is suggesting, that you can begin to manipulate the universe with your mind. And what you're really doing is opening yourself up to demonic possession, and millions of Americans at this time in history are opening themselves up to demonic possession. I think it's a frightening thing, but I think it has significance, and I believe it's one of the things that, of course, is going to lead to God bringing his judgment on America very soon. Anything else, right, Ryan?
Just by thinking some of the stuff, I mean, that's just basically opening the doors for them to...
Absolutely. I mean, what you're doing is you're concentrating. It's almost like a type of meditation or... this is what the Hindu does, and he makes his mind sort of empty, or he begins to concentrate on one specific thing. And this is what hypnosis does. You concentrate on a number or on a swinging pendulum or something of that sort. Well, you're concentrating on something you want. And what you should be doing, of course, is concentrating on the Word of God and Scriptures or something, but you're not. You're what you want, and you really are basically saying, "You give me this, and I'll give you my allegiance." And there are people who are willing to do it without realizing that they're tapping into the other dimension. You see, we live in a material dimension. I mean, you're listening to a radio right now. You're probably sitting in a chair. You have electric lights. You're sitting in a house. We live in a material dimension, but there is a supernatural dimension out there. And this is what you are tapping into. This is what you tap into with a Ouija board. This is the origin of UFOs. UFOs, I mean, they can go 5,000 miles an hour straight and then make a right turn. You can't do that because it defies the laws of physics. But you see, they're not limited by our dimension. And, of course, this is how people are able to levitate. A kid, many times, will play a game, and they'll get around a big, heavy table, and at least put one finger onto the table, and then they could lift the table. Well, they're not lifting it, it's levitating. You can tap into this other dimension, but do not ever do it. This is what the mediums do, this is the fortune tellers do, this is what the diviners do. And they're not teaching people today that there is a spiritual dimension out there. Our job is, of course, to fear God, obey God, love God, and keep his commandments. And they're trying to take you into the spiritual dimension. And that is a very dangerous thing. And I think it's so significant that it's happening at this time in history as we are beginning to move towards a war with Iran, well, I believe is going to be World War III, is going to plunge the world into chaos. And this is going to separate the sheep and the goats. And have you seen my talk on Brotherhood of Darkness, Ryan?
No, sir, I haven't.
You have access to a computer.
Yes, I do.
All right, you go up and Google in Brotherhood of Darkness video. Brotherhood of Darkness video. You can watch that. And then you really would want to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret, where we actually gave this talk before I had ever heard of Rhonda Byrne. But I tell you, a lot of the things she tells you are absolutely true. There is a secret that has been passed down for thousands of years through the sages, through the priests, through the mystery religions. And it's the same secret she's talking about. The secret to power and influence and wealth, but of course at the risk of your eternal soul. And this, of course, is what's so significant that it's coming out at this time. And if you'd like to get one DVD that would tell it you more than anything else, it's called Forbidden Secret. It's available through our ministry.
Okay.
Anything else you'd like to say or ask?
No, I think that's it.
Okay,
thank you very
fine.
Much.
Well, we're going to be going to Angela, who's calling from Albany, New York. And then, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And let me tell you, the older I am, because the more convinced I am that God does rule in the affairs of men. There's a spiritual battle going on, and you better know whose side you're on, because we're coming down to the final line. I don't know what is coming. I'm not a prophet, but I do know that the spiritual battle is real, and the devil is real, and God is real, and you better be on his side. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Angela, calling from Albany, New York. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I would comment that we're putting together, we have an excellent four-tape set on The Secret. It's not ready to be done yet, but probably in about 2 weeks we'll have that four-tape set out there. You can get the tapes individually if you want to, but we'll have it together in a nice kit. But the DVD, Forbidden Secret, and of course the syllabus that goes with that, will give you tremendous insight into what this is all about. But let's right now go to Angela, calling from Albany. Hi, Angela, how are you doing? Hi, Angela, how are you doing?
Thank you. And I wanted to mention about if you thought that, answer your question, if we should go to war with Iran, and I definitely don't think it would be a wise decision.
Oh, I agree with you totally. Why don't you think we should go to war with Iran? I want you to know I agree with you, but I'd like to know why you don't want to go to war with Iran.
Well, back in 1961, when I graduated from nursing school, the Shah of Iran was running Iran, and he would send over residents to America. And I happened to work with three or four doctors from Iran. And they were the most compassionate doctors to Americans, especially patients with cancer. I found them to be a very loving, caring people. It's very difficult for me to dislike them when I've seen them in action. And there has been no audience. You know, really sit down and hold their hand and listen to how they were feeling.
I agree with you totally. Well, the thing is, the war is a terrible thing.
And it is.
And I don't think, to most people, I mean, you know, it's something you see on television. Unless it's your son or your daughter or your brother or your father who's over there, why? You know, we're not even having to pay for the war. They're borrowing this from future generations, borrowing money, so that the war really doesn't affect us. But war is a terrible thing, and when you go into a war, you never know how that war is going to end. But even more than that, if you stop and analyze what this would mean. If we launch a preemptive strike on Iran, which I think it's only a matter of time, it's going to expand the war over in Iraq. In other words, if we attack Iran, why the Shias, who are very, very close to the Iranians, because the Iranians are Shias too, and hold just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 464-8295. And we have Angela calling us from Albany, New York, and she doesn't want to attack Iran, and I certainly agree with her. And I asked Angela why she didn't want to attack Iran, and she said because she's met some Iranian doctors. She's a student nurse. Are you a student nurse?
I became a licensed practical nurse when I was working with them.
Yeah, and of course, she said they were kind and compassionate people, and they are. The Iranians are nice people, but then the Iraqis are nice people, and most Muslims are nice people. We may not agree with, of course, their religion, but they're nice people. And he said the Iranian people do not want to go to war with America, and the American people don't want to go to war with the Iranian people, but there is a small clique in Washington, D.C., who is intent upon expanding the war in the Middle East, and of course, in my opinion, plunging us into a terrible, terrible conflict, which will sooner or later lead to World War III. But the reasons
we should, I'm afraid of.
The reason we should not go over to war, number one, if we do, of course, attack Iran, why the Shias in Iraq will attack the American forces. Now, basically, there's several armies there in Iraq. There's the at the Muqtada, the al-Sadir, his army, the Mahdi army will attack us. And then there's another army there, quite a large army, and we've allowed that to stay there, and I'm afraid that they will attack our forces as well. So we will have then a marked increase in American casualties. In addition to that, my concern is that the Iranians will launch some short-range missiles, not only on our forces there in Iraq, but on Israel as well. And, of course, this may very well precipitate a war in the Near East that we wouldn't have had otherwise. After all, what do the Iranians have to lose now? You've already gone to war with us. And then I fear the whole Middle East is going to be destabilized. And, of course, basically what will happen is that many of the so-called friendly countries, Saudi Arabia, perhaps Egypt, perhaps Pakistan, the governments there will be overthrown, perhaps even in Turkey. But I feel that there'll be total instability over there, and we will do everything we can by invading Iran to, first of all, unite the Iranian people behind the mullahs, who right now are not very popular. But when we attack their country, why, the Iranian people will rally behind their mullahs. And then, of course, in other countries, why they will recruit people into this anti-American, so-called violent terrorist movement that's really not violent terrorists. They just hate America because we have invaded their country, and they know we're not there to bring democracy. We know they're there to bring chaos, and that's all they can see. So that we will certainly destabilize the Middle East. Russia and China will be the big winners as they continue to solidify their influence in that part of the world. Anti-Americanism and Islamic jihadism will be whipped into a frenzy. There are terrorist cells here in the United States that our government has allowed to come into this country and is allowed to continue to operate in this country, and we know about them. And they are, of course, going to be activated. Why would our government allow the terrorist cells to be here? Because if we have chaos and attacks, then they'll be able to justify martial law. And we will begin to lose even more freedom if we attack Iran. And I'm reminded of sort of what Charles Lindbergh's father said. You know, those who go overseas to fight for freedom will one day find they'll lose their freedom here at home. So everything, I mean, there's just absolutely no way to know how this war is going to end up. And, of course, right now we're having to borrow money every single day to finance what's going on, somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 billion a day. Imagine what would happen if we lost a couple of aircraft carriers and 20 or 30,000 men in a short period of time. And people suddenly begin to realize that America perhaps is not as strong as it's supposed to be. And countries throughout the world begin to dump American dollars. It could crash our economy. I expect oil will go to $100 a barrel. I think that this will certainly bring terrible chaos here at home. And I agree with you, we should not be invading. And the average American has never even thought of the implications, because, of course, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and all the others are paid fabulous sums of money not to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth about what lies ahead from the American people. Anything else, Angela?
I completely agree with you. It's a very serious situation, because China has made that deal with Iran for that natural gas and oil.
You're right.
And they don't want anyone to interfere with that deal. And if we've got to negotiate.
But you
we've
see,
got to reassure them.
But you have to see, we don't want to negotiate. We want to go to war. And you have to ask yourself, I mean, where is Iran going to get the sophisticated missiles and the anti-aircraft batteries to use against our planes? They're getting them from Russia.
Russia.
Where did Russia get the technology and the funding for it? Why, from the United States. And the same thing is true with China. We have provided the funding for both Russia and China and the technology for Russia and China that they've given to Iran to use against the American forces, just exactly as during Vietnam we provided the technology and the funding for Russia that funded the North Vietnamese, who funded the Viet Cong, who killed American boys in the villages at rice paddies in South Vietnam. And this is Vietnam all over again. You certainly want to read my March newsletter, which will be available very, very soon. And it'll be posted on our website at RadioDebity.com, I hope, in about 3 weeks.
Well, I know that when General Westmoreland kept saying to President Johnson, we need more troops. We need more funds. Did we win in Vietnam?
No, we weren't allowed to win, Angela. We never went there to win. That was the thing. We sent our boys to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but never allowed them to win. And what's going on in the Middle East today is exactly the same thing. They refuse to let the generals run this war. They refuse to give them adequate troops. They refuse to let them do what needed to be done to stabilize the situation there. And if you think that 20 or 30 or 40,000 more troops are going to make any difference, I think we're sending a lot more than 20,000 troops, but that's because of the coming war with Iran. It has nothing to do with winning in Iraq. We did not go there to win.
No.
Anyway, thank you so very much for calling.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Stan. Love listening to you.
And
thank
please,
you.
Your job is to get everybody up there in Albany, New York, listening, will you?
I've got my son listening.
Okay, God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, let's go to Barbara calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Barbara. Did you have a question or comment?
I have a comment, essentially. I was just listening to Angela, and it brought back memories of a family that I remember meeting several years ago who came out of Iran, and actually at that time they called it Persia, and they still referred to themselves as Persians, really. And what happened to them when they were forced out of that country?
No, that was after, of course, the Shah had been deposed. And what people don't remember, Barbara, is that it was Zygmunt Brzezinski and the American CIA that deposed the Shah of Iran and brought this present Ayatollahs to power. And they actually adopted, took over the intelligence agencies and the secret police that the CIA had installed there to protect the Shah. So I think that the CIA has always had a presence in Iran and probably still has a dominant position, and I think this whole thing is being set up for terrible, terrible consequences. It's almost as if we're following a cosmic script. But go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I think you're right, but it was just the fact that, you know, they had a very good life there. And of course, when all of this happened, they were forced to give up a home, their job, everything they had. And in fact, this lady that I knew, when they were leaving, coming through the airport, as they saw her, they saw that she had a wedding ring on. They took every bit of jewelry off her that they could at that time. This was one of the most, you know, nicest families that you could ever hope to meet. Unfortunately have lost contact with them, but, you know, wonderful people. And I still believe that the people of Iran today are that way. They do not want war. They don't want to go to war. And we hear all of this, what's going on about, you know, they have the capability and they're going to produce nuclear weapons. I think that the United States then just starts to overreact because they want to promote something. And I think, you know, it's just like so many things. If you would just, you know, leave it alone, you know, it would almost go away.
Well, first of all, according to intelligence estimates, and we have the reliable intelligence estimates, it'll be 5 to 10 years before Iran, even with Russian and Chinese communist help, would be able to refine enough uranium and develop a nuclear bomb. And without the help of Russia and China, Iran would never be able to develop a nuclear weapons. And certainly wouldn't be able to deliver them because Iran's sophisticated missiles are Chinese designed. And of course, where did the Chinese get the technology so that they could actually be accurate? Remember when the Chinese first started to fire off the missiles? I mean, they couldn't hit the broadside of an island, much less accurately target them. Why, we gave it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're told old Bill Clinton did that for $100,000 in campaign contributions. And if you believe that, you have to be incredibly naive, and I know you're not naive, Barbara. And so the thing is that the tragedy is that we have actually given the Chinese communists and the Russians the technology they need to build the weapons that are one day going to be used against Americans, not only in the Middle East but and the Israelis in Israel, but I fear right here in the United States.
Well, I fear what the problem is that the rhetoric right now about the Iranians and their ability to produce nuclear weapons is just so that we can promote war against Iran prematurely when it isn't even necessary. They can't do it right now, and the chances are that something will happen in the meantime before they can, which will prevent all of this from happening. But I just think this is a ruse to get us into a war with Iran unnecessarily.
And I think you're absolutely right. And have you noticed they've created a new word? They call it Islamofascists. And this word has been coined by those people who want to get us into the war. We've got to fight the Islamofascists, and sort of equating what's going on in Iran with fascism. We had to fight fascism during the Second World War. This is why we're going to have to fight the fascists now. And if we don't fight them now, they're going to follow them over here and attack us. And it is all a scam. And I just would hope and pray there'd be enough Americans who would understand that we're being manipulated by people who have a different agenda. And in my estimation, that agenda involves the worship of a different God. And their goal is not to bring peace to the world, but to bring about a one-world order, a one-world religion, and a one-world ruler. Anything else, Barbara?
I can't add to that.
God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, and let's go to David, who's calling from Coeur d'Alene. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, because this is open line on Wednesday. Hi, David, how are you doing?
Hello, Sam. Good evening. Great, great. Absolutely wonderful. Just wanted to let you know and let the guest that you had on the other evening, you sound kind of downcast, thinking that possibly we're out here and we're really not doing anything. I think you, Alex, and the rest of the team on the radio are having a tremendous effect, only by virtue of the secondary that we see going on out here. I don't know whether you caught George Norrie coast to coast last night, but he had a couple of real Satanists on, boy. Real super doom and gloom anthropologists telling everybody that obviously there's way too many of us around, and I guess we're on the list because they didn't mention that they were going to go first. It was just bizarre.
Were these Frank Satanists that he had on?
I'm sorry?
Were these actually Satanists he had on?
No, they're anthropologists
okay.
That grow organic buffalo herds.
All right, finally, but they believe there are too many people in the world.
Oh, way too many people, obviously, and we have to cut down probably even lower than what the stated goals are by the CFR New World Order types. It was very bizarre, though. They really, really showed their colors, especially in consideration. Can't encourage people enough to go to your archives. Listen to Constance again. Your interview with Constance was very, very telling. The timing of it.
I think, David, that it's very interesting that all of these things seem to be coming together at this time.
All at the same time.
And it was 25 years ago when they anticipated the emergence of the world leader, and it just didn't turn out. But they ran ads in the newspapers, many of the major newspapers in the United States in 1982, announcing that the Christ would appear, and he didn't appear. Of course, this was to Ben Krishnamurti, and he changed his mind for one reason or another, why he declined to accept the concept of world leader. But everything, the pieces of the puzzle have been brought together. We now have a world court. We have a world parliament. We have a world police force. We certainly have a world structure. All we're really looking for right now is the new world leader. And I think it's only a matter of time before he appears on the scene.
Well, considering the programming content, and I say programming, well advised in regard to the secular sets that are out there. It is absolutely bizarre how close and on time they would perceive themselves to be as offering all of their Hegelian solutions or final solutions.
Have you had a chance to read my February newsletter? It's up on posted on the internet. And if I could suggest you go to RadioLiberty.com and pull down the February newsletter, where we talk about the writings of the people on the other side. How, of course, that they claim, of course, that the world leader is waiting in the wings to appear on the stage, and then the famous quotation from Le Messier, where he talks about how the stage is set, the curtains are down, the orchestra is down in the pit, tuning up, the actors are all in the wings waiting to walk on the stage.
Yeah.
At any time now, while the curtain will rise on the final drama of civilization. And what he's talking about, of course, is the coming of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
These people are very blatant in what they're saying. They know exactly what's going to happen. And the average Christian out there, he has no idea at all, because he's being deceived by his minister, who was deceived when he went into seminary. They infiltrated our seminaries many years ago to neutralize the Christian church. And
thank you, World Council of Churches.
Beg your pardon?
Thank you, World Council of Churches.
Right, and the Federal Council of Churches. And thank you, National Association of Evangelicals, Ted Haggard, who led the 30 million member National Associations of Evangelical Churches. Doesn't that make you feel good? Hey, thanks so much for calling, David.
Bless you, sir. Bye-bye.
But get people up there in Idaho listening. We need their help. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Jack from Michigan. Hi, Jack. You got a quick question? We're almost out of time.
Okay, Dr. Stan, do you recall Alex Jones stating that some 200-plus American cities and towns have passed their own local laws banning the Patriot Acts, and I think even the treaties? The treaties, obviously, are a major problem here.
I agree with you totally. I don't recall Alex saying that, but I know that there are a lot of our cities that, you know, certainly are very, very concerned about this, and they should be concerned, because the Patriot Act is certainly unpatriotic.
Indeed, and I think the time has come where we need to rally around the previous provisions for there's an organized militia and then there's an unorganized militia. And, look at the model over in Switzerland, where all the citizenry is armed and trained. I suspect there's very little crime over there.
But I'll tell you what the thing is, Jack. We had a militia here movement maybe about 6 years ago. It was organized by the FBI. The FBI was financing the militia movement because they wanted to know who the people were who would stand up and fight for America. And so you've got to be very, very careful. Your best friend could very well be a government informant.
Yeah.
They're keeping dossiers on everybody. Until we have the vast majority of the American people value freedom more than they do luxury.
Yeah.
Until they understand what a Constitution says, until they understand the spiritual battle, we're not going to take America back. So
right,
our
right.
job is to educate and educate and educate.
Indeed, Dr. Stan.
God bless. I appreciate so much your calling.
Night.
Good night. And so I just would caution people to be very, very careful at this time. They're collecting dossiers on every American citizen. They have a nation of informants out here. Many years ago, I was asked to become an informant, and I've talked to others who've been recruited as government informants, and they're reporting on what is said at churches. They're reporting on what is said at meetings and at cocktail parties. And all the information is being compiled on you and anything you say. So sometimes you have to be very careful and even who you trust. It could even be your best friend, as it was with Pat Matriciana. One of his best friends was a government informant. The same thing happened to the fellow from name escapes me. He wrote the book of Crossing the Rubicon. Michael Rupert, his best friend, was an FBI informant. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when, of course, we must remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And we do depend upon those of you out there who listen to our programs to help us as we try to reach out across America on almost 60 outlets every week. And with your help, why, we could expand that number. But right now, we just want to keep what we have, and we're not going to expand anymore until we're on a solid financial basis again. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and help us, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we suggest you get my talk, my latest talk, The Forbidden Secret. It will give you tremendous insight into what's going on and help you to understand this phenomenon that's sweeping across America called The Secret, Rhonda Byrne's DVD on The Secret. And I gave my talk before I'd ever seen her DVD, and much of what she said is true. There is a force out there you can tap into, but she wants you to tap into that force and become demonically possessed. And we want to warn you against that, because this is the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years, and the fact that it would be sweeping across America at this time in history makes me feel that we may be approaching a very significant period in the history of what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I fear it may soon become the land not of the brave but of the depraved. Well, we are involved in a spiritual battle. You've heard me say this many times. We hope you want to get the things that are available on our website that will introduce you to this spiritual battle. Certainly our four-tape set on the supernatural, the book, certainly The Beautiful Side of Evil, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, the four-tape sets, and certainly his book, Hostage to the Devil. We hope, of course, you want to get my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, and certainly Pastor Joe Simmel's excellent DVDs. They sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll. And then let me suggest, if you're interested in making preparations, you should be making preparations to look after yourself and your family. If you haven't heard my talk on the financial tsunami, it's available on DVD or on video, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. If you're interested in learning about preparations, fiscal preparations, why, of course, we'd be glad to send you a catalog, an emergency food catalog or a health catalog. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can hear our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet, 3 hours a day at Radio Liberty, and then an hour a day on the AmericanNewsNet.com, an hour a day on GCNLive.com, and then 3 hours a day either live or archived or MP3 on RadioLiberty.com. Get other people listening. Go up on the Internet and pull down. We have a number of DVDs up on the Internet. Brotherhood of Darkness is there. You Google in Brotherhood of Darkness video, or Ayub, Dr. Ayub, A-Y-O-U-B, video. Or you can put down World Revolution video. And you can listen to these and watch them up on the Internet and encourage other people to watch them. And begin to get an education that way. And certainly Rob Fredericks has done a great job of posting many of the talks that I think Constance Cumby's video is up on the Internet, A Brotherhood of Darkness, Constance Cumby video. And certainly get this information, get others watching the information. Understand that there is a cosmic timetable. And I'm not a prophet, but as I watch the things unfolding, I think we're moving down towards a climax in history. Make your preparations psychologically, fiscally, and, of course, spiritually. One of the excellent books that we think everyone should reread is Corrie Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place, and then Don Piper's book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, which goes into why bad things happen to good people. That's The Hiding Place and Corrie Ten Boom, and then The Hiding Place by Don Piper. Our number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guest, and well, I don't see the guest on the Dr. Bowman. I hope he's going to be available here very, very soon. But it says that they're typing up on the screen, guest Dr. Bob Bowman, and is he going to be available or not? Well, we'll know very soon. He's pumping something or other. Oh, he's pumping gas at the present time. Okay, I guess he's going to be with us very soon. So, anyway, of course, Colonel Bowman was a fighter pilot, a retired lieutenant colonel, flew well over 100 missions when he was in Vietnam, and of course, he's on the road right now, but he's going to be talking about, of course, what happened on 9-1-1. Because you can't understand anything that's happened since, you know, that time, we invaded Afghanistan, and then, of course, we went into Afghanistan. You remember, to catch the wicked Osama bin Laden, because he was responsible for the attack that killed 3,000 Americans. The only trouble is, they haven't told the FBI. And if you go to the FBI website, you can go to your computer and Google in FBI, and then, of course, you get the 10 most wanted, and you'll see the picture of Osama bin Laden there, and talks about how he's wanted for the attack on the coal and on the American embassies and other terrorist attacks around the world. But not one word about 9-1-1. Gee, doesn't the FBI know that Osama bin Laden was responsible for 9-1-1? Maybe we ought to write a letter and let them know that. Or was Osama bin Laden really responsible for what happened that day? The FBI obviously doesn't think so, because they don't even mention it. And it's well worthwhile going up on the Internet and verifying what I'm saying, at least as we have, and we make the copies of the FBI website available to you. If they haven't yet changed it, to my knowledge. If you don't have a computer, we'll be glad to send you the page from the FBI website, where they mention Osama bin Laden. He's one of the 10 most wanted men in the world today by the FBI, but no mention of 9-1-1. So why did we really attack Afghanistan? We were planning on attacking Afghanistan all along. We had, you know, all the plans were made. In fact, if you read the book Without Precedent, written by Tom Keene and Sidney D. Hamilton, the chairman and co-chairman of the 9-1-1 Commission, they will tell you that when Donald Rumsfeld testified before the 9-1-1 Commission, he said that the Bush administration was working on a plan to attack Afghanistan, and it was completed just the day before the 9-1-1 attack. Isn't that an interesting coincidence? What do you think the chances are that that could have happened spontaneously? Well, I think it did not happen spontaneously. The plan was there. It was completed on the day before the 9-1-1 attack, and that it was implemented within 3 weeks. And it takes a long time to get military forces in place for an attack, but they were already in place. We were planning on going to war with Afghanistan. We needed a provocation. We needed a Pearl Harbor. We needed an incident. In fact, if you read my newsletters from August through December of last year, and they're posted up on the Internet, this is exactly what Condoleezza Rice said. The American people weren't ready to go to war. There had to be an incident that would change the way they looked at the world. And, of course, 9-1-1 was that incident. Read what she says. It's up there. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're going to have Dr. Bob Bowman with us in just a moment. Apparently, he's pumping gas. He'll be coming here on the line in just a couple of moments, and And we want to talk to him about, of course, his view of what happened that morning, because none of it makes sense. I mean, you talk to the people who were there. And certainly William Rodriguez, and if you haven't heard my interviews with William Rodriguez, they're well worthwhile hearing. They're in a four-tape set entitled, What Really Happened That Morning? And William Rodriguez, very believable gentleman. Certainly he was there. He was been working in the North Tower for 20 years. And, of course, he was really a hero that day because after escaping from the building, he went back in. He had one of the few keys. And apparently a lot of the entrances into the stairways were actually locked. The people couldn't get off the floors. And he went back in to help unlock those doors so people could evacuate themselves down the stairways and save their lives. But, of course, he tells you that shortly before, you know, the plane hit the North Tower from above, there was a massive explosion in the basement of the building. And it shook the building, and certainly, if you've ever seen the pictures of the lobby, it was obviously there was an explosion at the base of the building. You know, it had nothing to do with what happened up on the 90th or 100th floor there. And William Rodriguez, of course, told the story of course, the explosion that occurred in the basement of the building seconds before the plane hit the top, and, of course, what happened the rest of the day, and how he was one of the last people out of the building, and then, of course, William Rodriguez was asked to testify before the 911 commission, but in secret. And his testimony was sealed for 50 years. Why would the government seal the testimony, not only of William Rodriguez, but of 1,100 other witnesses for 50 years? Are they trying to keep the information from Osama bin Laden? Are they trying to keep the information from the American people? Because think of the implications. If the Bush administration knew the attack was coming, and didn't try to stop it, then they would be as guilty as the perpetrators. Or even a worse thought, that maybe what we've been told about what happened that morning isn't true at all, and there was some government involvement in those buildings coming down, or Building 7 coming down, and if that is true, why this is a treasonous act, and the people responsible should be tried for treason and executed. And all the people who've died in Afghanistan and Iraq have died for absolutely nothing as a prelude to World War III. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we now have with us a Dr. Bob Bowman, retired Air Force officer. Dr. Bowman, thank you so very much for being with us. Bob, are you there?
Yes.
Thank you so very much. I understand gas is $2.65 a gallon. Where is that?
Well, let's see. I'm in Alabama, just west of Mobile.
All right. Well, you're a lot better off the way to get here to California. I paid $3.27 for the cheapest gas this morning.
Well, we'll be out there pretty soon enough.
I know you will be. And Dr. Bowman is going to be talking out here. I believe in is it June you're going to be here, isn't it? Well, anyway, we'll be.
We'll be there part of May and part of June. We'll be in California for over a month.
All right, fine. So he'll be speaking here in Santa Cruz, and we'll announce just before he does come here to Santa Cruz to talk. Well, let's get your thoughts on what happened on 911, because the people here have heard my ideas. What is your take on what happened that morning?
Well, the truth about 9/11 is that we don't know the truth about 9/11, and we should. I think people like David Ray Griffin and Kevin Barrett and researchers all around the country have pretty well proven that the government's official conspiracy theory is wrong, is impossible. It couldn't have happened in the way that we have been told. We have not been told the truth. It was a conspiracy. Everybody admits that. The government says it was a conspiracy by Osama bin Laden and 19 Arab hijackers. That story has a lot of holes in it. Governor Kane, Congressman Hamilton, told me that when I talked with them that they were lied to and that those lies made their way into the final report over which they had almost no control. What came out in that official 9/11 report was a cover-up. When you combine that with the confiscation of evidence, audio tapes and videotapes by the FBI, the destruction of evidence at the World Trade Center itself, put all those things together, and you have a massive cover-up, which itself is a conspiracy against the American people, perpetrated, in this case, the truth is obvious, by members of the Bush administration and the intelligence agencies.
And
so whether or not they're guilty of 9/11, they are certainly guilty of a cover-up.
And I certainly agree with you. And the thing is that they're doing everything they can to confuse the American people, and they're putting out all sorts of alternative theories and ideas. So there's so much information out there, it's sort of hard to see the truth from the falsehood.
It is indeed, and of course, that's one reason why we need a new and truly independent investigation of 9/11.
But of course, the Bush administration steadfastly refused to allow, you know, any independent investigation. The first Joint Intelligence Committee investigation, the Bush administration withheld information from, insisted on censoring it, deleted large amounts of information, and of course, so that that investigation was a total failure. And then, of course, when we got the 911 Commission report, they directed everything there. They censored the report, and nothing got out, you know, that they didn't want out. And, of course, Philip Zelikow was a close, he was the executive director, as you know.
He was a White House flack.
Sure, and he controlled that investigation.
He did.
And they sealed for 50 years the testimony of over 1,100 people who came forward to tell what happened. And why did they seal it? Why couldn't we see what they had to say? Or are they afraid the American people had learned the truth?
That's right. If the Bush administration has nothing to hide, why are they hiding everything?
So, you know, initially, of course, you know, a few months ago, I felt that the American people were waking up, and, of course, those of you who saw that wonderful Alex Jones presentation that was shown a number of times on C-SPAN, and Dr. Bowman was there, and, of course, Jim Fetzer was there, and Stephen Jones was there, and and Webster Tarpley and Alex, and that was really sort of the high point, at least in my estimation, of the effort to reach the American people. And the fact that C-SPAN showed that a number of times, I think, perhaps began to wake up a lot of people, especially that and the video Loose Change. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, certainly. The Loose Change has done a lot of good. The young men that put that together are really to be commended. They've done a terrific job. I must say that any new investigation of 9/11 is going to take a lot of time, probably more time than Bush has left in office. But the American people need to have the occupation of Iraq ended now. I personally am not willing to just wait around for the next president to end it. I feel that Cheney and Bush need to be impeached now, and they can't be impeached on 9/11 because we don't have the facts yet.
Well,
they could possibly be impeached for the cover-up, but I think there's a quicker way. They should be impeached for exploiting 9/11 to deceive us into wars of aggression, totally unnecessary wars of aggression. That in itself is an impeachable offense, which can be proven with the facts that we have now. We have the Downing Street memo. We have the PNAC document. We have videotapes of Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld using it to using 9/11 to justify the Iraq War. We have Richard Clark's book in which he says that as soon as 9/11 happened, they were immediately trying to blame Iraq and looking for ways to tie Iraq to it. We have, I think, all we need. We don't need an investigation there. What we need is simply for the Congress to quit being so lily-livered and impeach these traitors.
But, of course, Colonel, I agree with you totally, but Congress is not about to do that. Nancy Pelosi has not only said we will not impeach the president, but recently when they voted for this new budget amendment, they even removed an amendment which basically said the president cannot invade Iran without or go to war with Iran without the permission of Congress. And they took that out, which actually gives George Bush permission to attack Iran. This is madness.
Indeed. And that's why the American people have to get involved. Because the Congress won't do what needs doing until the American people demand it loud and clear.
And this is the tragedy, you know. The American people, well, nobody wants to be controversial. They don't want to be out there at the front of the line, you know, marching along. And of course, a lot of the people are out there marching on the radical left, and the communists are out there. But just because the communists are out there doesn't necessarily mean that they're wrong. I mean, I take the communist papers I have for years, and I believe this whole movement is controlled by the same people who pushed the war. They control both sides. They have a controlled opposition, and until we understand they control the right and the left, the Democrats, the Republicans, the conservatives, the liberals, we're not going to be able to get anybody who represents us.
That's right. And that's one of the reasons for my tour. I'm trying to reach out to people on the right and the left to convince them that they have been artificially divided. We, the American people, have been divided into conservative and liberal by billionaires, by the global wealthy elite, so that we'll think we have a choice in the elections. The reality is, of course, that there is no choice, because when it comes to what matters to these money people, wars, foreign policy, trade, the things that affect their bottom line, they own both the Republicans and the Democrats at the national level.
And I think that's such an important point, and I just hope that in your speaking engagements across the country, and I know you're doing this because you love America and you're a patriot and you want to awaken the people. The American people have to understand that we've been manipulated for a long period of time, that most of our left-wing groups and most of our right-wing groups have been infiltrated, and none of them are going to tell us the whole story. They may tell us a lot of the story, Sydney, but they will never tell us the whole story, and that's why they're there, and that's why they've survived, you know, for decades, is because they have been put there to siphon off support to keep people from seeing through the glass clearly rather than through the glass darkly as we do. So anyway, what sort of response are you getting as you're traveling across the country, Colonel?
Well, so far we've certainly ticked off some Bush supporters, and we've had the people walk out on my presentation each time. They just are afraid of the truth and can't face it.
I think that really is it's a tragic situation. And I've been in that same sort of a situation. They always make a big issue of walking out and drawing a lot of attention to distract the people from what they're hearing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, but of course, the blind following of any administration, whether it's the Democrats or Republicans, is such a mistake. And all we have to do is see that how President Bush has not been forthright with us as far as where we went to Afghanistan. People have forgotten the promise. We're going to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
He just didn't say when. And you remember weapons of mass destruction or whatever it was that we went into Iraq for? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Dr. Bob Bowman. He is retired military. He had well over 100 flights during the Vietnam War. And I'm sure as a warrior, he's very disconcerted with what's going on today. But let me use a couple of sophisticated arguments, may I? Not that I necessarily agree with them, but these are the arguments that are being used. And one of them is, look, if we don't finish this job up there in Iraq, why, the terrorists are going to follow us home. We either defeat the terrorists in Iraq, or they're going to follow us home here. What do you say to people who say that?
Well, the so-called terrorists are our creation of our policies. And before the invasion of Iraq, there were only a couple of hundred al-Qaeda in the whole world. What we are fighting in Iraq now is mostly not al-Qaeda, but the residents of the country, the people who live there. Same thing we did in Vietnam. We're fighting the people who live there, and that's never a winning proposition.
And I think that's absolutely right. I mean, the latest figures from even today, now after they've been recruiting al-Qaeda from all over the world to go into Iraq to fight the Americans, there's only between 1,300 and 2,000 at the most of al-Qaeda fighters. The rest of them are Sunnis who hate America, or Shias who hate America. And if you talk, and the polls all show that the vast majority of both Iraq of Shia and Sunnis want the Americans to leave their country because they know we're there not as liberators but as occupiers. But then, of course, when they come up with these polls, they always include the Kurds. The Kurds like the Americans to stay because, of course, they have a stable area up in the north part of the country. And so the Kurds got, the Americans got rid of Saddam Hussein. So they always throw those figures in to sort of confuse the issues. You got at least 20, and then maybe another 10 or 15% of the people who want, of course, Americans to stay, but that doesn't represent the Shias and the Sunnis. 90% of the Sunnis want us to leave. 75% of the Shias want us to leave. Why do we leave?
Well, of course, if we leave, then the neoconservatives who took us into this war lose what they went to war for in the first place. Those 14 permanent military bases in Iraq from which they can complete the conquest of the entire Middle East, occupy them, and have all the oil.
And I think that really is a large part of this. We want to dominate all those countries in the Middle East, and this really goes along with that book. Are you acquainted with that book by Zygmunt Brzezinski, The Grand Chessboard? He wrote back in 1997, yes, where he talks about how whoever controls the Middle East controls the world. He refers to this as really the center of the world, and it's a fascinating book too. And he even anticipates the war on terrorism. But as long as, he says, as long as they don't have a country, that is backing them, they'll be irritating, but they will never have any effect on us. And that's absolutely true. I mean, they can't, without somebody financing the al-Qaeda terrorists, they're of no influence at all. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Bob Bowman, and he's on a tour trying to awaken the American people as to what's going on. How are you getting your talk scheduled?
Well, I laid out a tour, 120 cities in 120 days, and then I just called people and emailed people around the country and said, you've got this date, put something together. And it's all being done by volunteers all around the country.
And are you getting out fairly good-sized crowds?
Well, we'll see. We're just getting started. But it's going to vary a lot. There are going to be times when, I talk to 30 or 50 people, and there are going to be times when we get many hundreds.
So those more
people. It's going to be a mixed bag.
It's hard to get a crowd out. This is why I do. I got tired of talking to small audiences. In fact, sometimes I'd put a meeting on and there'd only be three people there, and sometimes there wouldn't be anybody. So basically, this is why I got on radio. This way, you got a captive audience. And of course, they can always turn you off, but this is why I do what I do, and certainly I enjoy having you on, is to give you access to our audience across America, and certainly in Michigan this evening, and several major cities there, Flint, Detroit, Attica, New York, Albany, New York, Utica, New York, certainly in Lexington, Kentucky, Cincinnati, and then by the miracle of shortwave and internet, really all across America, all across the world. Well, you know, certainly if the arguments that are made why we have to stay there, you know, the concept is, I don't know if you heard the remarks by John McCain, but he said, you know, speaking of the fact that he's not doing very well in the presidential campaign, he said he'd rather lose the campaign than lose the war in Iraq. So he wants to win the war in Iraq. How do you feel about that? Shouldn't we go into war to win the war?
Well, we should, but unfortunately, this is not a war that can be won. I mean, it has been lost already. There is no winning a war against the people who live there unless we kill all the Iraqis and turn it over to the scorpions in the desert or whatever. I don't think there is any such thing as victory in this kind of war. It was doomed to failure from the beginning. Many of us said so before the war started. In several speeches before this war started, I said that it would be immoral, illegal, unconstitutional, a war crime, and an act of treason.
Well,
I predicted the effects of this war on our national security, on our reputation around the world, on American lives and dollars. It has been a total disaster, and they act surprised. And yet, we predicted the kind of disaster it has turned into. It couldn't be anything else when you go to war against a nation that is no threat to you.
And I agree with you totally. And this is the great tragedy of this thing, is that had we even gone in, and simply, got rid of Saddam Hussein and then established a stable government and turned it over to the stable government and pulled out. But instead of that, we dissolved the military, we dissolved the police force, we dissolved the civil service, we closed down all the factories and put out 100,000 men with no jobs, no place, no way to feed their families, angry and furious with America. They did everything they could to destabilize the country, and they succeeded. And how could
Absolutely.
You be that stupid? Unintentionally, and of course, if you really wanted to solve it, you'd split it into three parts. One Shia, one Sunni, one Kurd, and you'd let them set up the governments and pull out, and we have no intention of doing that.
Absolutely right. And if people want more information on this, they can go to one of my websites. One having to do with this tour is thepatriots.us. They can go to that website and see all about the tour and what we're trying to do to get a government which follows the Constitution, honors the truth, and serves the people.
Now, again, that website is the Patriot U.S.?
The Patriots, plural.
The Patriots.
Thepatriots.us.
All right, fine. What if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment for our guest this evening, Dr. Bob Bowman? Give us a call here. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. We've already lost over 3,000 men. It's estimated somewhere between 25,000 and 45,000 seriously wounded. And, of course, one in every three men who come back are ill within 3 months. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and some of the military leaders who are honest have said the army is broken. I mean, you cannot continue expecting a small number of people, especially people who are not the regular army, the National Guard, the reserves, to go over there. And now, just here within the last 24 hours, we've announced we're going to extend the tours for many of these men another 3 months. These are men expecting to come home. There are people who went over there for a year. The National Guard, the reserves. And now unilaterally, they've suddenly decided to extend their tours and they're beginning to mobilize other groups. And my fear, Colonel, is that this is all in preparation for the coming war with Iran. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I'm afraid so. And, of course, the plans for Iran now, since all our ground troops are tied up and overburdened already, they would simply use air power and possibly even nuclear weapons. This, of course, would obviously be another war crime. And my message to the officers on active duty in the Pentagon is that if somebody, Cheney or somebody, says drop a nuclear weapon on these targets in Iran, that they should not only invoke the Nuremberg principles and refuse to follow that illegal order, but they should arrest whoever gave the order as a war criminal.
And, you know, I think that certainly a lot of our military are very unhappy. In fact, I have read that at least five admirals and generals have said that if we go to war with Iran, they will resign their commissions. I wish everybody on the Joint Chiefs of Staff would resign. They should have done that during Vietnam, and they didn't have the courage to do it. I wish they'd do it today. So anyway, I share your concern, and the thought that we would even consider, you know, getting involved in a nuclear preemptive strike, this would set a frightening precedent, wouldn't it? That would certainly justify the use of nuclear weapons against the United States. This is the frightening thing to me. People have never thought of the implications that what goes around comes around. And
right.
If you're going to drop a nuclear weapon on Iran, how could you possibly object to somebody else dropping a nuclear weapon on America?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. It's, like I say, it would be a...
Hold that thought.
War crime.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Do you mind if we take a couple of guests? We have a couple of people calling in.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Jerry calling from Los Angeles. Hi, Jerry. How are you doing?
I'd like to know why is it immoral for America to fight evil in the world?
Why is it immoral to fight evil in the world? Do you think that we're fighting, we are justified in fighting evil? Why don't we fight the Saudis? Because they certainly are evil. Why don't we fight the government of Kuwait? They're evil. I mean, are we going to take on every evil government? We certainly ought to go after Mugabe down there in Rhodesia, shouldn't we?
Well, I think we should.
I see. Well, I disagree with you. How would you answer Jerry, who's calling from Los Angeles, who thinks that we ought to fight all the evil dictators in the world?
Well, in that case, we ought to start with Cheney and Bush. They're the most evil of the
I think we ought to start with you two.
All right,
because you guys are plainly evil.
All right, thank you very much, Jerry. And let's certainly go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Let's see. Yeah, well, we'll be Mike, and then we'll take Jack next. Jerry, we've known him in the past, and so I didn't really want to carry on a conversation there. Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike. Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Dr. Bowman about the 911 Citizens Commission.
Yes.
What you might know about that. Any update?
Oh, yes. I support what they're doing, but I don't expect it to bear any fruit in as much as actually leading to indictments, impeachment, or anything of that sort. So in parallel with that, you have to pressure the members of Congress to take action. I think that the citizens' grand juries and all of that are a very good way to spread the word and educate the American public.
Oh, Mike, I really think that the Colonel is absolutely right. But I think the one thing is, if everybody was putting pressure on their congressman, for instance, our congressman here is Sam Farr, or the Eshoo, who's over in the San Jose, has the mountainous area. I think she's my congresswoman. But we should put pressure on them, saying we want an impeachment of the President of the United States. If they felt that there was enough support for impeachment, they would simply circumvent Nancy Pelosi and say, we're going to go ahead and do it. She's having a hard time keeping the Democrats in line as it is. And if there was a groundswell of support and a lot of people saying, if you're not willing to take a stand against this president, then we're not going to vote for you next time. And if you're going to allow him to take us into a war with Iran, we're going to hold you personally responsible for it, and you'll never get reelected again. And believe me, the old saying by Everett Dirksen is so true. We don't see the light until we feel the heat. And I believe Dr. Bowman is absolutely right. We have to put the pressure on our elected representatives. Anything else, Mike?
Well, I'm afraid Sam Farr has his heels dug in as a friend of Bush. And
No, Sam Farr is not a friend of Bush.
Well, I mean, on this issue anyhow. He's not going to do anything, in other words, is what I'm saying.
All right, well, that's it. I would just let him know and at least make him feel uncomfortable.
Well, I've got an idea. He knows everything there is to know about 911.
I doubt that very much myself.
Yeah. Well, Nancy Pelosi, it seems like she's got plenty of incentive to carry out an impeachment.
Well, that's the problem, you see. Nancy Pelosi, if Cheney and Bush were to be impeached, and they have to both be impeached simultaneously. If that were to happen, Nancy Pelosi would become president. So she has an interest, and she cannot afford to be seen as self-serving. And that's why she has to say no impeachment. But people have to understand that she's not dictator. She is no more the decider than Bush is. She's just a public servant, and there are a lot of other representatives up there, and they can bring impeachment with or without Nancy Pelosi.
And also, Hillary would be very angry if Nancy became the first woman president.
a good point, yeah. Mike. Anything else, Mike?
That's all, thanks.
All right, God bless you. All right, our friend, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So let's go to Jack again in Michigan. Hi, Jack. How are you doing? Do you have a question?
Yes, Dr. Stan, actually a couple. Jerry in Las Vegas motivated this question, and he thinks you guys are evil. Then I would ask Jerry, and I'd ask the guest whether this would be a good resource for Jerry to reflect upon, and that's Colonel Dan Marvin's ExpendableElite.com website. And I'd like to ask Colonel Bowman if he has ever considered having Colonel Marvin accompany him in this tour. And also, does he know about the Hawks Cafe fellows, the fighter pilot from Vietnam and the forensic scientist who set up the website? I heard the interview a few weeks ago where they revealed the fact that Boeing was being prosecuted by the Department of Justice relative to a Lockheed Martin racketeering lawsuit, and Boeing settled $650 or $700 million to halt the investigation.
Now, what was it? What was the base of the investigation?
Okay. Boeing, according to the Vietnam fighter pilot who became the airline pilot and the forensic scientist, HawksCafe.com, they said that Boeing had actually planted the QRS-11 military gyro chips on those jets, as well as a French company's fuselage insulation, a tri-layer that had the middle layer with the C4 incendiary, and they had bombs planted in the doors of the plane as well.
I never heard anything like that. Have you heard anything like that, Colonel?
Well, yes, I did hear about those accusations, and I have no idea whether they're true or not.
I mean, that doesn't really make sense. Why would they put incendiary devices in planes to make them more explosive?
Yeah, so they could vaporize, and it would look like, where did they vanish?
You're talking about the 911 plane.
Yeah, the 911.
Yeah. That sounds like the sort of disinformation the CIA would put out.
Oh, they're right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it sure does to me. Basically, they're putting out information all the time, Jack, to confuse us. And believe me, that may come from what appears to be very legitimate sources. But what they want to do is feed you so much faulty information that you can't think clearly.
Well, what I'm planning to do, Dr. Stan, I'd like Colonel Bowman to comment on this. Since Alex Jones had reported on all these cities that had passed their local laws banning the Patriot Act, etc., I'm going to circulate a petition to do likewise. And also, now that I have intimate knowledge of the fact that 90% of the American people do not, according to the statutory code, possess a valid tax liability, and of course, who's funding this new Vietnam and Iraq, soon to be Iran, I presume it's the American so-called taxpayer.
Well, basically, we're doing it all with borrowed money, but thanks very much for calling, Jack. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and I would suggest that everybody get involved doing something. If nothing else, just getting people to watch copies of a DVD like Loose Chains or 911 Press for the Truth, which is one of my favorites, or 911 Mysteries. In fact, we carry actually 5 DVDs through our ministry, and you get them all together. We think that you need the information, but actually you can pull it down for nothing on the Internet. Just go up on the Internet and Google in Building 7 videos, and you'll see Building 7 coming down again and again and again. And there is no question, after watching it a few times, that this was a controlled demolition, because in a controlled demolition, the center of the building collapses first, and then the base collapses. You do that so that you can destroy the central core of the building, and so it'll collapse inward, otherwise it collapses outward. And then, of course, you destroy the base, and the building falls in its own shadow, and you'll actually see that. I'm sure you've seen that, Colonel, haven't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. To me, that's closest we have to a smoking gun.
I really think it is. That was the thing that convinced me more than anything else. I've heard some of Stephen Jones' work on what happened on 9/11 to the Twin Towers, and some of these pictures that are coming out with the 45 degree cuts, obviously cuts on those steel beams, 47 steel beams that went up the center of the building, are certainly very suggestive that that's why the building came down so rapidly.
Yes, yes, indeed.
What do you think are the most telling points about the 9/11 story that really we could use to convince people that we've not been told the truth? And incidentally, put our telephone out again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But what are the most telling points that you like to talk about?
Well, I don't talk about specifics too much, but I'm thinking of putting together a 2 or 3 minute video to let people know why we disbelieve the official story. And that video would show the BBC reporter saying that World Trade Center Building 7 had collapsed and Building 7 is still standing visible over her left shoulder. Next, you'd see a video of Silverman saying that they made the decision to pull it, and then you'd see the video of Building 7 coming down. Those three things taken together are a very powerful argument that the government story is impossible.
And I agree with you totally. I think that's what they have done, for instance, with the popular mechanic strike. They set up a lot of straw men so that they can knock them down. And so it was very, very hard to, you know, think effectively. And I like to just talk about Building 7. I like to talk about, you know, the passports, amazing passports that were able to survive that flaming inferno. And then I like to talk about the military exercises that were held that morning that were both deleted from the first, from mention in both the first and the second investigations. And why did they suppress that information about the military exercises held that morning that simulated an American, a hijacked plane crashing into an American building? What are the chances that that happened? How was Osama bin Laden smart enough to do that? And forget about all the other things, because they want to get you arguing on things that nobody has the answer to.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
All right, well, let's go to James, who's calling from, of all places, Maryland. James, it's late back there in Maryland.
Yes, sir, it is, but it's an honor to be listening to you fellas and speaking with you, Dr. Stan. I've watched a great many movies in the past couple of years, or documentaries, rather, with you in them, and I think you were in one called Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings.
Yes, that was, and have you seen the next one called Riddles in Stone, which is even better?
No, but I'm really looking forward to it.
We do carry that. And then, of course, if I could suggest my latest talk, Forbidden Secret, which I think ties it all together, how do we really understand what's going on? But anyway, did you have a question for the Colonel?
I do. I have a question for both of you. I have two questions, actually. One of them was posed to me by a fellow who doesn't study this, but I was trying to point out the finer points, the smoking guns of, false flag terrorism and things of this nature. And having watched Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, I come to find out that maybe there were some bad fellows, bad seeds in our government from the very beginning. And the question that was posed to me seemed foolish at the time, but the more I think about it, it's not, and I really need an answer. The question was, if these men, like Henry Ford was building tanks for the United States while he was building panzers for Germany, why didn't they just let Hitler win? And I know it sounded like a foolish question to me months ago, but I have no answer.
All right, do you have any thoughts on that, Colonel, or should I answer that one?
Well, we can both take our cracks at it. I think those who were dealing with Hitler were doing so for personal profit, and that, of course, included the Bush family as well. And but what we have going now is a wedding of government and industry, large corporations running the government, and of course that's what Mussolini defined as fascism, and we do have that now. They didn't have to let Hitler win because they had their own form of fascism, which is far more effective than Hitler's. And Hitler fooled a lot of the German people, but he couldn't fool all the people he was conquering, and eventually the world would have turned against him and beaten him. What they're doing now is bringing fascism about in a subtler way, brainwashing the people and profiting enormously from it.
All right, James, let me just say that probably the best answer to your question, in my estimation, would be a book written by Manly P. Hall. And, of course, you get the later book, the latest DVD that Chris Pitta put out. He put out The Secret Mysteries. But you'll actually get a lot of information on Manly P. Hall and this Riddles in Stone. But Manly P. Hall was certainly deeply involved in Satanism. In his book, The Secret Destiny of America, he tells you that this plan goes back many hundreds of years. And it was to use America to bring about this new world order and the new world religion and the new world leader. Now, eventually they plan to destroy America, but in the meantime they're going to use our financial and military power to bring this about. And remember that Manly P. Hall is long since dead, but he understood this long plan that was to be utilized by the secret societies to bring about this world government headed by, of course, this world leader. We do carry the book. We don't list it at all in our list of publications because it's only for research, but it's The Secret Destiny of America. You can get it from the Philosophical Research Society in Southern California. But that's why, of course, they couldn't let Hitler win, because America was to lead the whole world into the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. Well, we've got Al calling from Ohio, so let's go to Al. Al, do you have a question or comment? We're almost out of time.
Hey, Dr. Stan. Just wanted to commend you on a great show. And Dr. Bowman, I know you've had a really long and distinguished career in the military, but my question really has to do with, an incident that wasn't very, widely talked about so much in mainstream media or even anywhere really, was the fact that, the CIA and Air Force were conducting, drills in the morning of 9/11, of a very similar nature to what actually transpired on 9/11. And from my vantage point, I mean, the only thing that can, really be surmised from this is that, possibly we have, traitors occupying probably the highest echelons, not only in government but also in military. And I just want to kind of hear what your comment is. And you guys have talked about impeachment. I mean, I think we're beyond that at this point. I mean, what we need to have is the FBI arrest people. Basically just on some of this. That might be kind of a stretch. Some of this evidence is really damning, but.
Let's get the colonel's thoughts on that. How do you feel about what Al is saying about the implications of these military exercises that were simulating exactly what took place?
Well, there are only three possibilities. One is that it was all a massive coincidence combined with incompetence. And that really is the government story, and pretty far-fetched. The other two possibilities, which are far more likely, is one that Osama bin Laden really was responsible for all this, but he had a mole on the inside who let him know when those exercises were going to take place so that he could do the hijackings on that day and succeed. The other possibility, of course, is that those exercises were specifically planned to mask the hijackings. And of course, that means that there is massive involvement inside our government. To me, those are the three possibilities. We should know which of those is the truth, and we don't, and that should be brought out by a new investigation.
And I agree with you totally. Thanks very much, Al. I share your concern. What we need to do is get the American people educated. That's your job?
Absolutely.
That's the colonel's job. That's my job. God bless. Good night.
Okay.
Well, Colonel, thank you so very much for being with us, and I appreciate you taking time out on your trip to be with us, and have a safe voyage. We'll look forward. I hope we can get a chance to meet with you personally when you get to Santa Cruz.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it.
Good night, and God bless you.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Here's something. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I always enjoy programs like this. I hope you did, too. And we heard a couple of new listeners tonight, and we know we have new listeners all across the country. Your job is to get people to listen to our programs, too. And remember, they can listen to them on the Internet 5 hours a day. They can listen to us on Telstar 5 9 hours a day. And, of course, that's a really very inexpensive satellite radio, and certainly you can get it. Joyce Riley's up there 9 hours a day. I'm up there 9 hours a day, but nobody's going to listen 9 hours a day. In fact, I'm amazed that some people listen 4 or 5 hours a day, but my job is to get the information for you and to hopefully entertain, but not primarily entertain. I'm not doing this for entertainment. I'm doing this to educate, but we cover all sorts of different things because we want you to be listening and never know what's going to be there, and hope most of the programs were worth your time. And then, of course, we want you to get other people listening. And then, of course, you can get them up on the Internet to watch our Brotherhood of Darkness, to watch our World Revolution, to watch our, certainly, Dr. Ayoba videos and the other videos that are up there. And in fact, I'm going to try to get a list of them from Rob Fredericks and let you know. But they're all there on Google, and you can pull them down, get other people to watch them. And if they'll sit there for a while, hopefully they'll begin to see the truth of what we're talking about. And then, because if you'd like to get my talks, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the book, if you'd like to get The Forbidden Secret, The World Revolution, we carry now in video, we're going to have to get that put onto a DVD, and certainly we have the talk by Constance Cumby, either in DVD or in video, and also, we've really got all sorts of great new tape sets, and just go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, that's RadioLiberty.com, and look at what we have. Listen to our programs live, send me an archived MP3, get other people listening. And believe me, the audience is growing. More and more people are beginning to understand that behind what's going on are powerful spiritual forces. If you have not yet seen our February newsletter that went out last week, if you're a subscriber, you should have it by now. And if not, you can go up to the website at RadioLiberty.com and pull it down for nothing. That's the February 2007 latest Radio Liberty letter. But copy the letter. Get it in other people's hands. It explains why we're going into Iran. Because if you're looking for a logical explanation, there is none. And if there's no logical explanation, there has to be another explanation. And I believe this is the true reason. What is energizing the people who are forcing us, and will soon, of course, plunge America into even a larger commitment in the Middle East, and this will have terrible ramifications here at home. And then, of course, we hope many of you will certainly want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out 5 hours a day across America. We hope many of you will want to get the books written by Professor Quigley, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, or the Anglo-American Establishment that go into the background of the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created, which became the Council on Foreign Relations. But you must understand that Professor Quigley totally missed the occult foundation of Cecil Rhodes and his secret society and the men who surrounded him, and that's beautifully covered in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And if you'd like more information, my number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Again, our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, because if we don't, this country doesn't turn back to God, we're going to lose America. It's just that simple. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And so until tomorrow evening at the same time, we'll be with you on the same stations. May the Lord be with you.